Digital stance, getting firewalled, ho, cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leave you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial codes, source codes, ISOs, RAMs, SIPs, SIPs. This is dedicated.
This is Jimmy, the system. Jimmy isn't here. He's listening to this world radio at thisworldradio.com. That's www.bedfulterradio.com. And remember, don't leave your password on this world like Jimmy did.
To disconnect, press 1. If you still want to leave a message for this person, press 3, or simply stay on the line. At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
All right, hello, ladies and gentlemen, hackers and freakers, boys and girls, children of all ages. I am Stank Dog, and you are listening to Binary Revolution Radio, episode number 38. We are coming to you on this day in history, March 23rd, 2004. That is when we originally aired, but if you're listening to a rerun, where were you on March 23rd? The opening that you heard just before my wonderful voice came on was our good friends over at Default Radio. They had a little fun with a number that was actually for sale on eBay earlier this week, and it's the famous number from that song Jenny. Well, somebody was trying to sell that number, and a New York area code, I believe, and they did what Default Radio keeps preaching about and reminding people not to do over and over again. They left it on default. So, some people, we won't mention any names, but some people had a little fun with that, and that's the opening that you just heard. So, that's a nice transition into the housekeeping section. Oh, but wait, Stank, you haven't introduced your co-host yet today. Oh, well, I'm not gonna introduce my co-host yet today, because today, episode 38, we are finally going to announce the newest member of DDP, who is my co-host, who is on the line right now, but I'm just going to yank you guys along in IRC. I'm just going to yank you and tease you, and I might reveal it in a few minutes. I don't know. We'll see about how that goes. But before we do, a little bit more housekeeping. I want to inform people of a very, very cool system that In Theory has set up. His asterisk box, at 914-595-0135. Call this number, and he has set up a very, very cool system with some options on it that you can call. You'll get a dial tone to start off with, but basically that's a menu. And you can push some buttons on there, push in some codes, and get some pretty cool stuff. For example, press number 1, and it will start playing to you through your phone. Obviously, that would be accessible anywhere that you can call it, from a payphone, from your office phone, anywhere, cell phone. Press number 1, and it will play Evan Doorbell's How I Became a Freak, Part 1. So wherever you are, if you're bored, you want to listen to that, you can dial that number, press 1 to hear it, or you can press 2 to get episodes of Radio Freak America. You can press number 3 to get past episodes of Binary Revolution Radio. Or press 9 for a nice little ANAC. So if you want your ANAC, you can call that. Lots of cool stuff and more to come from what I understand. So all you freaks can go check that out. And our co-host is still not going to be announced. Dan, that's just evil of me. That's just wrong. Some more housekeeping. We got a couple emails, but before I talk about that, we have made some updates to the website that a lot of the regular visitors to the site have probably noticed. Excuse me. I took out some dead links. I cleaned up some of the link boxes we had in the template. That change gets affected throughout the whole site, so you'll notice all the pages have a few different link boxes on them now. Change the IRC logo to be clickable, so all you Windows users, you can click, and it will automatically launch your IRC client, whatever that happens to be, whatever it's associated with, and join the BinRev channel, so that's pretty cool. I should have done that a long time ago. And we changed the radio image on the front, and I'm going to give some early shout-outs here to Random Hero. Thank you very much. In IRC during last week's show, actually, he did this for me. Changed the image so that it tells the new address of our new DDP Hack Radio server, which we're going to talk about that in a little bit too. But that is not the big announcement this time. The big announcement is the newest, latest and greatest official member of DDP, and I don't think we should drag it out any longer. Yeah, I do, actually. Actually, I do. I know you guys in IRC are hating me right now, but don't hate the player. Hate the game. Before we do, let's go on to an email. Well, you know, if I was listening to this would be really annoying to not know who's on the other end of the line. But I'll shoot through this email quick. Alpha Omega 13 sent me an email, which this is a really cool email, first of all. Says, it's very short, says, I appreciate what you're doing. Don't know if you care. Have a wallpaper that you can add if you want. Great show. Listen daily. Very informative. Complete sentence. Lack of complete sentences aside. Very cool email. We appreciate it. It sounds really corny to say this, but absolutely we care. I'm glad that you like the show. I completely care about everybody listening to the show. It's very cool that you enjoy it. I try to make it enjoyable. You know, so anytime you guys send me an email like this, I'm very appreciative as well. I'm trying to get on here each week and put out the best show I can, so I'm glad that somebody is liking it. So, that's cool. Even if I know some people out there don't exactly agree with me or don't like what I have to say, you know, whatever. It's all good. He also sent me some wallpaper, which I'm going to try to put up in the gallery. Not sure exactly what the wallpaper is, frankly, but I'm going to try to put that up in the gallery. And I'm sure Hack and Slash will probably take care of that. So we'll put that on his to-do list. We got one more email from FOG. I don't know if I should call that Fog or FOG stands for something, but he says, I heard about the show a few days ago, and I must say it's great. I won't stop till I download all of the episodes, which will take a while since I'm on 56K dial-up. Sucks to be you. Also, I was wondering, how old are you? Something around 30. Anyways, keep up the good work. Yes, 30-something is close enough for government work. So again, same to you. Thanks for listening. I like hearing people giving us feedback, especially from other countries. So thank you very much for that. I appreciate it. And you know what? Speaking of other countries and experiences abroad, and since I just gave a little hint, a little teaser, I think as we start the show and tell, I think it might be best to start the show and tell with my co-host for the evening and the newest member of the Digital Dog Pound. And this time I am not teasing you anymore. I'm not joking. I have to say welcome, Hack and Slash, to the show.
It is definitely good to be here.
And I know you were hanging on to it's waiting for me. I kept teasing the audience there a little bit, and I know they're hating me for it.
Yeah. I would be hating on you too, man, if you did that while I was listening to it.
Well, you know, I got to keep a little bit of a tease going on, but
yeah.
You know, I'm kind of running out of breath. I need you to come in here and bail me out for a minute.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Well, let's start in the housekeeping section. I know you got one thing that we're going to talk about later, which is actually going to be the main topic of the show. But what else have you been working on lately? We all know that you do a lot of maintenance on the site, frankly. You help us out a whole lot, which is really one of the reasons that we really decided it was time to offer you a position, as it were, with DDP. So we know you're doing stuff with the gallery all the time. We know you help moderate the forums a lot. And actually, we kind of put a little hint, if anybody was really paying attention in the forums, that you had moderator power for quite a while there.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody quite picked up on that. We gave some hints, we gave some teases out there, but nobody picked up on it.
Well, I mean, I've never warned anybody yet, so I guess that's why nobody noticed, really.
Well, I've been warning some people. I've been warning my ass off lately. I've been getting busy with it. I'm glad we added that warn thing. That was
hopefully
way overdue.
Hopefully we won't need it anymore,
Yeah, well, true, hopefully, but let's be realistic.
Yeah.
So far, so good, though. I think we've been good for a while now. But have you been working on something else, or do you want to hold off on your main topic, or did you want to talk about some other things, or what's up?
Well, I've been working. First of all, just let me say that you said you changed the IRC picture, and that Windows users could click on it and get an IRC. Well, there's a Mozilla, and I mean there's a Firefox extension, and I'm not sure if Mozilla supports it, but that lets you do exactly the same thing. You can have the mail to tag work and IRC and FTP as well.
Well, right. It's going to whatever's been associated through the browser, whatever application is associated to that protocol. So I would assume so, but yeah, you're confirming for me that you've done that in Firefox?
Yeah.
Okay. Good deal.
Not with the regular Mozilla, but I'm positive Firefox works. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Other than that, I mean, I've been working, as people know who hang out with me in IRC, I've been working on Hackburn for a couple months now.
Yeah, how is that going?
It's going pretty well. I'm working with Gray Static on it. Well, he's helping out with bug testing and stuff like that. Props to him. And
why don't you actually give a little bit of an overview and just kind of refresh everybody exactly what Hackburn is?
Okay, well, Hackburn is just the quote-unquote code name. I'm going to be renaming it to something more presentable, you know.
Okay.
I want to feed my ego off of that that much. So, but it's practically a Perl TK graphic interface to CD record MKISFS and MPG123. So it practically lets you burn CDs.
And is this something that you decided that you wanted to learn as you did this, right?
Yeah.
You wanted to teach yourself a lot of this stuff and at the same time do something that you could use, right?
Because back when I was using KDE, I was using K3B, which is a KDE CD writer, and it sucked. Really bad. I mean, I know people that will swear by it, but it just sucks. So, and I needed something really lightweight and not really GTK, because that's still kind of heavy. And I thought that Perl TK would be a great tool to use for this, and also to let me learn some more. So.
Right, and that's, you know, I'm the same way. If I'm going to do something and I want to learn stuff, I want to actually apply it towards something that can be used or something that can be, you know, I don't want to just do a hello world. You know, I actually want to give myself some sort of challenge and some sort of goal to work towards and something that I can actually use afterwards. So that's definitely a good way to learn.
And I'm going to be posting it to Fresh Meat in about a month, I'm thinking, is my time frame. So watch out for that one.
All right. And we will definitely put links up and everything when that time comes. And I guess, let's see, where should I start here? I, myself, have been doing a lot of reading, like I always do. Regular listeners know that I subscribe to every magazine under the sun. But recently, I've actually been going real, real old school. I ordered some back issues of Blacklisted 411 magazine, which I mentioned before. And I finished another one of these old issues. And this one was Volume 2, Issue 3, which came out third quarter, July 1995. So let's go back and get a little nostalgia, get in that mindset, that mind frame here. And I thought I'd do a little quick review of this, even though this is old, old material. I like reading some of this old stuff. Believe it or not, some of it is still applicable, still useful, and still interesting. While other stuff is actually kind of funny and humorous, and I'll get to a couple of those. First of all, this was a much better issue. The one I talked about last week was Volume 2, Issue 1. This is Volume 2, Issue 3. Now, I skipped 2 because I already have that somewhere, and I didn't go back and reread them in order. So, Volume 2, Issue 3. Better, infinitely better. The last one, the thing that I did not like about it, and I mentioned, was that it had just tons and tons of ads in it. And the stuff that was not ads was a bunch of lists, BBS listing and modem string lists and stuff like that. Interesting, I guess, and useful, but the kind of thing that I personally would just wait and look up online or store in a text file somewhere and look it up when I need be.
That's what Google's for.
Yeah, exactly. But back then, you know, let's got to get that 1995 mindset here. So I guess, You know, back then, and again, this one had some more of that. Don't get me wrong. It had BBS listings for, gosh, I don't even remember now because I skipped right past them because it was, you know, it just didn't do anything for me. So, had some BBS listings. A, they're old. B, they would only be interesting to you if you were living in that area. This one was New Jersey, I see.
Well, I guess it'd be pretty cool to see if any of them were still up.
I guess, but, well...
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that there are... That's an interesting question. That's a question for people to write into us, radio@binrev.com. Let us know if you actually know and still use a BBS system, if you still dial up to an old-school BBS or you run an old-school BBS, because so many of them have changed. Like, oh, you know, Moomoo Security, they've got one that's set up, but it's all over the web. It's different, you know? It's not exactly the same thing. So that doesn't count. Are there any old-school dial-ups left out there? I'd be interested to hear that, because I think they're all dead.
I haven't owned a modem in about 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, I've got modems laying around. That's definitely got the modems, but I don't use them for that type of stuff much anymore. And you'd think that there's still people out there doing some war dialing. You'd think that you'd still see and hear about them in forums and websites and stuff like that, and I just don't even see or hear them mentioned anymore. But, anyway, that's, you know, this is, again, these are reference materials, and like you said, stuff you could Google or look up later. There's an abbreviation list in here. I don't know why. I mean, it's not even abbreviation listing of just different, I mean, this is silly. Like, some of these are obvious, or we know, like ACK, acknowledge, you know, SYNAC, we know that. ADSL, asymmetrical digital subscriber line. Did I really need to have this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.5 page list? And this is only A through C. So I'm sure in the next one they're going to start with D and blah, blah, blah. I mean, okay, how about, like, this is not going to change my life right here. CRFMP, and I'm picking these at random. CRFMP. You ever heard of such a thing?
No, I have not.
Even when I tell you this, you're still never going to hear of it. That's one. Cable Repair Force Management Plan.
Okay, what is that?
I don't know. Who cares about this? Why would they print something like this?
Does that have anything to do with cable modems? And
In 1995?
Yeah, I guess I see your point.
I don't know. Seems silly to me, but hey. Whatever. It's still, even it had that in it, it had BBS, it had, it even had this joke, like this type of stuff you would send around an email. It was called Bathroom Men. Types of men one would meet in a public restroom. Well, first of all, that just sounds dirty. In 1995, maybe it was a much more innocent time or something like that. I don't know, but I'm not meeting strange men in the bathroom. That just sounds perverted to me. But hey, what am I talking about? Even this one had a games tip. Let me see what the games were. I'm curious now. I did not check that out. Games tips in the, quote, official Hackers magazine. Lemmings. Classic kick-ass game. Don't get me wrong. But it has a list of Lemmings cheat codes. John Madden Football. Paperboy 2. Smash TV, another kick-ass game. And Super R-Type. So how's that for dating it?
Paperboy what, 2?
Paperboy 2.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, right? Well, let's see. Press 6479, pressing right on the control pad. Whatever. Not what I was really expecting. Interesting, but whatever. But the thing is, the articles that were around all of this stuff this time were much, much better than they were in the other magazine. The other one, I was just like, I didn't get much out of at all. This one, I have to say, had some good articles in it. One in particular was from someone called X Spook. I don't know if he still exists today and if he possibly listens to the show, but he had an article called Cheating Without Cheat Codes and How to Count to Hex FF. Now, this one I thought was still a good article because, A, talked about computing number systems, something that's near and dear to me and a topic I love, and we had an article, a similar article by Fiend in Binary Revolution magazine. This one talked about specifically decimal to hex for the most part, and then hex to binary, and the relationship between them. But then it went on to apply this towards video gaming and editing and modifying your saved games to use them to cheat at video games. Now, that part's a little bit, you know, whatever, but the fundamentals of this and how it works and why it works I thought was very cool, and it was pretty well written, I have to say. It was pretty decent. So, it kind of seemed like it might have been, you know, he talks about hex editing and modifying your saved game files, and how you can change your shields to be a certain number, and how much power your weapons do, and stuff like that. But fundamentally, this is the same thing that people do in cracking software. Now, it's changed, and it's gotten more sophisticated lately, but fundamentally, you know, this was how cracking began and first started. People would see where things were changing in memory, and they were checking registration. Sometimes the files were just an encrypted file that was registered, and you could figure out what was being changed. It was hex codes, it was registry entries, and stuff like that. So if you understand this concept, it is very, very rudimentary introduction to cracking in general. And when I say cracking, I mean writing cracks for software, kind of more in the Juarez community, per se, these days. Another funny thing that dated this. Right here on page 31, here's a full-page ad for DEF CON 3.
Oh, man, you got to scan that and put it up in the gallery.
You know what? That's a good idea. I did not think I might just do that. When I saw this, I was like, wow, 1995 DEF CON 3. Alternative Computer Convention, August 4th through 6th, Las Vegas. But some of this stuff still goes on. You know, like, let's see. First of all, it's kind of funny. It says, loads of fun KRAD events include, and it's kind of elitized, which I thought was funny. Spot the Fed, they had back then. Red Box Building Contest. T1 Video Conference with other cyber cafes. Illuminati, NWO, and Magic Contests. I'm not sure what that is. I think Magic is the card game, if that's what I'm thinking of. I'm not sure if that's what they were talking about or something worse. But they had Hacker Jeopardy back then. I didn't realize that had been around so long. And they listed some of the speakers here. But it's a full-page ad. It has the DEF CON voice system. I don't know if that number still works or still exists. Man. $30 in advance, $40 at the door.
What is it now?
You know what? I do not know the answer to that. It seems like, I think, somebody correct me, but I want to say it was $80 now for the weekend. I think, but I could be wrong with that. Maybe $80 per day, I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, with inflation and everything, so.
Well, I guess it's really not, that's 10 years almost. That's almost 10 years ago, man. That's
that's
nothing to sneeze at, man. Anyway, to try to wrap this up a little bit more quickly, there was another article on UFOs in the back of this. Whoop-de-freaking-do. I guess whatever floats your boat, but Hacker Magazine, UFOs, didn't do anything for me. There was a good article. It was a reach, but I liked it. It was on arcade game piracy and about how the ROM, about how the actual boards, the PCBs on these pinball machines and arcade games and stuff get copied and how they're pirated and how some of the legal loopholes that existed back then. And actually, this was written with a historic perspective talking about pre-1995 as well as modern day. Well written, and I thought it was interesting. It says by Sir Harry Wozniak, but I think we know that's a pseudonym, obviously. There was also an article, this didn't do much for me, but some of the freaks out there might like it. It was Cellular Hacking, What Exactly Is It Anyway? By someone called Digital Thunder. It had some great diagrams, but frankly I couldn't follow it because I didn't know a lot of this terminology. I'm not a big freak, so I didn't do too well reading this one. It has an Amiga section. That's something else that'll date this. It has an Amiga section, which I thought is very cool to even have such a thing, because back then the Amiga was a pretty cool system. Never caught on, it never really grew, but Amiga had a pretty cool system. This was mostly just news items and generic stuff, wasn't really an article per se, but I just thought it was pretty cool to even have it in the first place. Kind of like we're going to start having a more regular Mac section, a Hackintosh section, if you will. So I thought that was pretty cool. So all in all, I thought this was head and shoulders above the previous issue. Still had what I thought was some, I won't say wasted space, but some topics that could have been used somewhere else. So do you have any issues of Blacklist? Did you ever read this at all?
No.
No?
No, not at all. I mean, are there any, they're not still in publishing, right?
Well, and that's the thing. That's why I'm bringing this back up here 10 years later. Not so much because we're hard up for material, well, that's always the case, but because they just recently came back and started publishing again. So they are back in the news. They have started releasing the magazine lately, from what I understand. Now, I ordered the newest issue and haven't gotten it, so I don't know what's up with that. I think you'd mentioned something about they had to print some extras, or they're stuck at the printers or something like that, so it should be coming. But I ordered these back issues at the same time and got them already. So, yes, they are being republished now. So you can, I don't know exactly where you can find them. You can definitely go to the website, Blacklisted, I think it's blacklisted.net or blacklisted411.net. I don't recall, but it's in the show notes from last week, I think. And it'll be there again this week. I'll make sure. I remember them. The issues that I had, they were very hard to find anyway, and it was around 94, 96, in that range. So I guess they probably stopped around 96, 97. At least as far as I know.
Yeah.
So you never saw any back then?
Well, back then I was 6.
Oh, man, suddenly I am so old. I am so incredibly old. Well, I guess you'll get the second generation now of Blacklisted, and we'll check that out and see how it is. And I'll, if and when I ever get it, we'll talk about that one on the air, too, and see how much they've changed, if at all. Definitely looks a lot better, color cover, stuff like that now. But I actually sent in an article to them last week. I got in touch with the publisher and the people over there, and I don't know if they're going to be able to use it or anything, but I sent in an article to them, so we'll see how that goes. Now, one other thing that I wanted to mention is that, and this is kind of local, so I know a lot of people might not, I'll make this quick. We have something in Fort Lauderdale coming up called the Tech Galaxy Conference. It's going to be March 27th, which is a week from airing, almost a week, the upcoming weekend. Tech Galaxy 04, and what this is a conference put on by a group called Flux, which is Florida Linux Users Group, or Users Exchange, excuse me, I think it is, and also put on with SoFlo Jug, which is South Florida Java Users Group, and they're putting on, basically, it's the first time they've ever done this. They're trying to get all of Florida's user groups together for one big conference. So the Linux Users Groups and the Java Users Groups and the Database User Groups and stuff like that, some of which I'm members of, some of them I'm not, are getting all together, and at the last minute, Cy Pete, who's written articles for BinRev, a good friend, signed up our local 2600 group. So we're going to try to go there and represent a little bit. It's going to be at Nova Southeast University. If anybody is down here would like to attend, by all means, attend, please check that out. Going to be tables set up for every group. There's going to be a 45-minute seminar by each group. So there's going to be seminars going on all day. It's exhibitors, stuff like that. So not sure exactly what to expect, but I will be at that this weekend. I'm sure I'll talk about it on the next show, how that went. And that's what I've been working on. We've got a big topic coming up on the show, and I don't want to take too much time from it. The only other thing I want to mention, I guess this is a good point, to talk about the DDP Hack Radio server. Now, hopefully, you're listening to this episode on that, unless there was a problem of some sort. We have the Hack Radio server up and running. Seems to be fairly steady. We've been testing it over the past month, off and on, testing bandwidth, testing consistency, testing the software and getting it set up and stuff like that. So, as you're well aware, Default started on that a couple weeks ago, and they seem to be doing well. And today will be our first official streaming to the new DDP Hack Radio server. So we changed, as I mentioned earlier, we changed the graphic on the front page so that if you click, you will go directly to our server now instead of over at Rant Radio. Now, we're still streaming to Rant Radio, don't get me wrong, and people who are going through Rant Radio, we're still there. But we have a backup because we had some problems with the server being down before, so we just want to make sure that we get the show streamed out through a couple different locations. So, please check that out and report any problems you're having with that. We got a scheduling grid up. If you go to the radio.binrev.com page, you'll see a link to the schedule that you can check on, and that's growing. We're adding stuff to it as we get new shows signed up and work out some scheduling things and stuff like that. So make sure you check that out often to see what we've been adding to it. And that's enough for me, man. I'm tired just from talking about all that crap. I think now would be a good time, and pardon me, I'm going to have a glass of iced tea here. Ah, that's real bad radio, but our main topic today is going to be from my co-host, Hack and Slash. Do you have a drink handy? Are you all ready? Because you're about to do some talking here.
No, I don't, but I'll be good.
All right, now, today's main topic is something that I know you've been playing with for a while now, and that is the new Linux 2.6.4. Is that correct, 2.6.4 kernel?
Yeah.
Okay, so
that's the latest.
Why don't you start wherever you think's the best, because I know you've been spending quite a bit of time with it, and I guess basically give us a little bit of a review, what's good, what's bad, what's different, however you want to start.
Well, I don't think it would be that informative to start with 2.6.4, since these point releases have been released very often, as is usually the case with the Linux kernel.
Right.
So they're mostly bug fixes, some driver updates, stuff like that. The main point I want to make is the difference between 2.4 and 2.6.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's a couple of really big differences there. First of all, they have a new scheduler, which has been in there from 2.5.1. I don't remember exactly what the point release was, but it was an early 2.5 release.
Right. It was in one of the mid betas. Is that?
Yeah. Yeah.
The odd numbers.
And now it practically improves performance on multiprocessor servers and stuff like that. So.
And that was added in 2.5, and it's stable now in 2.6, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and what else is new from 2.4 to 2.... Well, since 2.4, we'll word it that way.
You know, Intel has hyper-threading.
Right, right.
2.4 didn't support it, and 2.6 now does.
Well, that's a very cool addition.
You with people with Pentium 4s with hyper-threading can take advantage of that. They have a lot of threading improvements. Software which uses multi-threading and stuff like that is improved in 2.6.
Now, is it by default enabled and ready to go, or do you have to go in and tweak some configurations and stuff to get it?
I'm not sure about that. I'm really not sure.
I think it's probably built in from scratch, and only if you want to override it would you change anything, or actually... I assume, obviously, like any kernel, you can remove things that you don't want or don't need. So
yeah.
If you have a processor that's not hyper-threading capable, you could probably remove that from the kernel and make it a little bit more efficient.
One of the really big things is ALSA, the Advanced Linux Sound Architecture.
Right. Now, I did hear about that.
Yeah, which replaced OSS, the Open Sound System. And... it's better.
I was going to say, in one word, better or worse?
Better, definitely.
Much better?
Yeah. It's got, first of all, it's got support for many more sound cards.
Right.
It plays along with the kernel really well since it's built in. Earlier releases of ALSA with the 2.4 kernel sometimes clashed. They had a differences, but this one, I mean, for me it works very well. I have a rather well-supported card. It's a integrated VT8233 VIA, and I've really never had any problems with it, so.
Okay.
I don't know, other than that, they have rewritten, I understand that they've rewritten a lot of memory allocation code in 2.6,
Okay. Obviously for efficiency purposes.
Yeah. And just a lot of general bug fixes. There have been really a lot of them since 2.3. And from these 2.6 point releases.
Yeah, now see, that's kind of a... I know a lot of the Linux Nazis are going to hate me for saying this, but that is one of the knocks that I have against Linux, and some... Obviously, it varies from distro to distro, and et cetera, but the whole point... Bad pun on that point. The whole point of the point system, I don't know how to phrase that properly, is that the even numbers are supposed to be the stable ones. And it's kind of disconcerting that there are still bugs. I mean, obviously, there's always going to be some bugs, but it seems like there's, I don't know, too many. I mean, that's what the whole point of putting out 2.5 and 2.5 whatever and the 2.3, shouldn't they have worked out a lot of those bugs?
Well, if you take a 2.5 kernel and compare it to the 2.6, you will see that obviously there's way less bugs in 2.6.
Well, I would hope so. But there's still some that they make the point releases, and...
Yeah, yeah.
See, well, are the majority of those, though, in the included and bundled apps and utilities and stuff like that, or are they in the kernel themselves, the kernel itself?
Well...
Like, for example, also, you say?
Yeah.
That is built into the kernel, correct?
Yeah.
So if it's a problem with one particular driver for one particular motherboard... You know, to their credit, that's very difficult to test every single motherboard and every single possibility. And debugging something like that's got to be tough, but it's something that it seems to me like you just has to be done when you're going to include it into the kernel by default like that.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, it's really not the kernel developer's job to do that.
Right, and that's absolutely the point I was driving at, is that, you know, these are, anytime you have a lot of these, there's compatibility issues and stuff like that. You try to get rid of as many of those as you can and integrate it in the kernel, but you're always going to have them, and it's not necessarily the fault of the kernel or a knock against Linux itself. And I know you probably won't like me saying this, but I have to use the same defense for Windows sometimes. A lot of times when Windows crashes, it's due to device drivers that go bad. Somebody wrote a crappy driver for Windows XP that causes... And you know what happens is, you know, Windows has its problems, don't get me wrong, but blaming every single crash on Bill Gates and on Microsoft is a little bit unfair. A lot of them you can blame on him, but not all of them. It's the same thing holds true with both operating systems, or with any operating system for that matter.
Yeah, well, I don't know, I mean, Bill Gates is evil and Linus isn't, so I guess you're
Gee, I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah. Now, other than that, I mean, symmetric multiprocessing is improved highly in 2.6, so you can really use dual CPU machines and multi-CPU servers and stuff like that.
Right. Now, that support's been there, but it's just improved now.
Yeah.
And isn't that, if I probably shouldn't speak about this because I don't have a whole lot of experience, but isn't that something that's been a strength of, like, BSD, FreeBSD?
Really don't have any experience with BSD or...
Yeah, if somebody out there knows that, I had always kind of heard that the true Unixes, for lack of a better word, were a little bit better at that, but I could be wrong. Somebody, by all means, correct me on that. Now, all right, let me ask you this then. I, on my laptop, I dual boot to Red Hat, 8 maybe? It's been a while since I've even paid attention to the version of what the distro is, because it's kind of irrelevant. But I know I'm running kernel 2.4.2, I think. Is there any reason, should I, update to 2.6?
Wait, you're running 2.4.2?
It's 2.4 something. Not sure.
Well, actually, with some of the early test versions of 2.6, I heard that, I think, I'm not sure, but I think it was N Theory on the forums who said that his laptop fans stopped using ACPI power management from the 2.6, one of the test kernels, I think. I'm not sure. So you might want to be careful with that.
Oh, that's not cool. But, well, that's on an early 2.6, you say?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's definitely not cool.
Yeah.
Especially on a laptop.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and the thing is, it's not... And that's why I'm probably a good example. I boot over into that on my laptop only for, you know, a few hours at a time when I want to work on something specifically or I want to test something specifically in Linux. I will boot over there for just a short period of time. So for somebody like me, who's just going to go in there for a specific purpose to work with a specific application, to bring up Kismet or something like that, is there any point in me upgrading to 2.6, honestly?
Probably not.
Now, the laptop is a P4. It has hyper-threading support.
Yeah.
But because of the nature of what I use it for, I don't think I would take advantage of some of those features.
Yeah, probably not. If you have a CD burner, for example.
Right.
2.6 has IDE burning. It's not SCSI emulation anymore. So, you know, you might like to instead of using one of those SCSI numbers, 0103 whatever.
Right.
You could just use a dev / HDD or HDC or whatever your CD writer device is, you know?
Right.
It's just small things like that that usually, you know, make people switch. I like it because I'm working on Hackburn and it's easy to just, you know, type in the drive device and the whole number thing, so.
Right, and now since you started developing that a while back, I assume under 2.4 or maybe even earlier, were there any drastic code changes or anything that you had to make or adapt?
No, no.
Ran perfectly smooth when you upgraded?
No problem with that, so.
Very cool, very cool. Well, definitely, right now, my Linux boxes at the house are all dead for one reason or another. Mostly because of hardware problems. Hard drive died and had a power surge on another one that took it out. So right now, I need to rebuild all of my Linux boxes, so I don't need to do any kernel upgrades on anything right now. But it sounds like I would probably go ahead and make this upgrade on my desktop machines, but it sounds like for my laptop, it's probably not necessary for me right now.
Yeah.
Maybe if Red Hat actually releases an RPM or some easy...
Well, you know, Red Hat really stopped doing the whole Red Hat thing, so you might want to try Fedora.
Yeah, and I've been thinking about that too, but again, I use it so infrequently, and it has... That's one of the great things about Linux too, is it has everything I really want already.
Yeah.
You know, and if I want a new app or something, I just grab it and bring it down. I don't care that it's... You know, I know some people... the term distro whore comes to mind. Some people have to install, oh, Red Hat 8 point whatever came out, Red Hat 9 is out, Red Hat 10 is out, oh, Fedora's out, I have to restore. No, for me, you know, as long as it's, unless there's something, and that's why I was bringing up, that's why it's great to talk about this kernel, that's why it's such a great topic, is let's talk about what is new in this kernel and what is worth, whether it is worth upgrading and changing, if it's something that you would take advantage of or use or not. Because you can still be running... You don't even have to be running a 2 kernel. You can be running anything as long as it gets the job done and what you want to do.
Yeah.
You know, don't upgrade for the sake of upgrading.
You know, I mean, one of those, like, really old kernels that are all the bugs and everything are fixed for them, you could very well use that for a server, you know, just to be secure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of the things, if you want to do a little Microsoft bashing, here we go. That's one of the things that I do hate about Microsoft.
That they force you to upgrade.
Right. Absolutely. And it's so despicable, you know, that they basically cancel support, they cancel selling it, they just sunset the whole line. Windows 95 really, really sucks in some ways. But if it gets the job done, it gets the job done, man. There's no need to go pay to upgrade to a new operating system if the one you have is perfectly fine. And anytime I have an opportunity like that, that's when I really push Linux. Instead of telling somebody, oh, your 95 works fine, it does everything you want to, but Bill Gates wants you to come upgrade to Windows XP or whatever else newest thing he's got out and wants you to pay in that much more money, you don't have to do that. It's unnecessary. use the proper tools for the job, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
So that's one thing I do hate. And I'll tell you, it's even worse at large corporations and universities. Let me tell you firsthand, when you get a site license, you're signing away support to all that. You guarantee part of the site license agreement is, okay, we will purchase a site license for our entire company for Windows XP, and in the contract says, we hereby swear that we are going to uninstall or upgrade every copy of Windows 2000 to XP. That's part of that agreement. And you take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you take it. These corporations, they, you know, I'm sorry you may disagree with me here, but in the real world, you have to have Windows because there's so many users that just aren't going to be able to handle a new operating system and learning something new from scratch. You may put it on servers here and there, independent ones that the IT people may take care of, but for your desktop users, the secretaries that are typing up your documents and doing calendars and printing off pictures of puppies and whatever else they do, those are the people that you have to provide something for them to work with easily, and it's just, you know, that's something that companies just don't have a whole lot of choice. They do it, or they get left behind.
Yeah.
And that's really frustrating sometimes.
And it's not only that they force you to upgrade your software, but when you see, for example, if you jump from, let's say, 98 to XP, your machine that ran 98 perfectly won't face up to XP because of the hardware requirements. You know?
Right. Well, might not, but yeah, probably will not.
So they're also driving the hardware Intel thing.
Well, yes, of course.
I mean, if you've seen the, if you've tried the Longhorn leaks, you'll see that there's a lot of stuff that, I mean, don't get me wrong, I really hate Microsoft, but some of that stuff is really cool.
Well, hey, listen, there's nothing, I don't like the way Microsoft does business.
Yeah.
But I do like some of Microsoft's products. I really do. I'm going to get roasted in email for saying this. But I like Microsoft Outlook. I like it. It's a good, useful product because I use it every day at work.
Try Thunderbird.
Huh? Yeah, I know. I actually downloaded it at home, but I can't use it at work because of the reason I said earlier, we're forced to. We have calendaring, and we have to use one that everybody can read and that they've set up. I don't have a whole lot of choice.
Yeah.
And as long as you're smart about it, which most people aren't, you know, oh, look, here's an attachment, readme.exe, click, 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 all of a sudden everybody's infected, you know? If you're smart about it, it's not so bad. It has annoyances like everything else, I guess, but anyway, there's our Microsoft bash of the week. Get that out of the way. Oh, man. What else? Anything else 2.6 worth mentioning that we should bring up?
I know I'm probably forgetting something right here, but I really don't. I don't think there's anything else.
Yeah, we can always bring it up on a later show, talk about it some more. I'm sure there's tons of stuff that we've missed, actually. You know there's tons of improvements. I mean, those are the major ones.
And even stuff that you don't see, you know, like just code cleanup and stuff like that, you know?
Speaking of code cleanup, is it completely SCO-free?
Well, Linux has always been pretty much SCO-free.
Not according to SCO.
Well, yeah, but you know SCO's wrong. I mean, don't you?
Well, they're absolutely 100% right. I mean, they sued. That means they're right.
Well,
doesn't it?
I mean,
yeah, I'm being sarcastic, of course.
No, they're just, I read some article where Linus was talking about SCO, and I quote, he said that there are several levels of SCO being wrong, and even if we were in that alternate universe where SCO would be right, they'd still be wrong. So.
Yeah, my favorite I read on the air one time was about them smoking, where he said that they must be smoking crack.
Yeah, I've seen that one too.
That was pretty good. Well, yeah, we can always do SCO bashing too, but I think we've beaten that horse into the ground as well. I don't think there's really much more to be said about that. All right, well, we are getting close to time here, so how do you want to handle this here? I want to talk about Let's see, I'll do a quick mention of this show. There's an upcoming show called CTIA Wireless 2004. It is the I'm going to read the blurb here. It's the largest, most comprehensive show in the wireless industry and the premier venue to exchange ideas, create partnerships, and collaborate to bring wireless telecommunications to new heights. We have done all the legwork to bring every element of wireless together in one location over the course of 3 days. This global event draws attendees from dozens of different industries in more than 80 countries around the world, serving every aspect of the wireless providers, providers, users, developers, buyers, and manufacturers. If you can only attend one industry event this year, choose CTIA for the greatest value under one roof. Crap. I guess we have to cancel Hope 5 now.
Yeah.
Because this is the one to attend. Crap. Well, actually, this is March 22nd through 24th, which is exactly when we're airing the show, so I guess it's a little too late to make this one now. But, you know, I was looking through the website, and what was really bizarre was the last day, you know what the final event of the whole thing? The wireless fashion show.
Okay, wait, so there...
Dude, don't ask me. I don't know. Chicks walking around with cell phones on their breastises? I don't know what's going on.
Oh, no. Cell phone bras, maybe?
I have no idea. There was one picture on the site, and it was a chick wearing just, like, this little dress, and she was holding, like, a PDA in her hand, like she was... Like it was a Price is Right model or something. I don't know. But there was a pic... She was walking along a runway... I don't know, dude. I think it's just an excuse to look at hot chicks myself. Hey, whatever works. I give that a big W-O-O-T if that's what it's about. I'll check that out. Maybe I can make this by Wednesday. We're streaming this on Tuesday. Maybe I can hop on a plane and make it there for the fashion show.
You could do a live bin rep from there.
Yeah, we can do the Hack TV prawn. And actually, the real thing is called the wireless. They talk about a lot of different things, but the main push is on cell phones. And... It will be interesting to see if this show's as big as they claim and they're going to release so much stuff here. I'd like to see what kind of new phones they come out with, because we've talked about on the show how frustrating it is that Japan is so far ahead of us in cell phone technology. It's just so maddening to see how all the cool stuff that they have on their cell phones that we still don't get for a year, 2 years later. So maybe they'll announce some things, maybe some stuff will come out at this event. And we'll have some cool announcements on upcoming episodes about it. That would be nice to see some breakthrough technology on our over in our country for a change. Over in the United States, I shouldn't say our country. Over in the United States for a change. So, anyway, man, I think... I'm not sure I didn't set the timer, but I think we're pretty close to up. So why don't you got any, I'll let you start off with a shout out. So I've got a special shout out, but why don't you, if you want to shout anybody out, take your shot, man. Anybody you want to go for, it's all yours.
I just want to shout out to Duel and Bland for RFA, and, we're all waiting for a HPR. Shouts to the people in IRC who are probably listening to this right now. Don't know. And shouts to AccessXS, who turned me on to Linux and everything, so shouts to him. He's my homeboy.
Anybody who turns someone on to Linux deserves shouts.
Yeah, definitely. For all you Linux Turner honors out there.
Linux Turner honors, yeah. I'll second that one.
I'll make sure to put that in the show notes.
There you go. Oh, yeah, that's going to be kind of ironic, isn't it? Man, think about that.
Yeah, well, maybe somebody else can do the show notes this week.
Ooh. I don't know, you might be opening yourself up to some cheap shots by doing that.
Yeah, I'll take care of it.
Yeah, I thought that might be best.
All right, well,
my shout-out's kind of serious. I just have to say shout-out. Again, I second everything that you said. Absolutely agree completely. I've said my shout-outs to RFA for everything that they've done. But singling out specifically this week, I want to say congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Dual Parallel. So, on a personal note, congratulations from me to you. Very cool, and I spoke to him just yesterday. He put up a great text file, by the way. I should pimp this text file he put up on oldschoolfreak.com, The Freaking Oahu. Got to check that out. Very, very well-written article. Very cool stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
It's got some pictures too from Hawaii.
Yeah, some cool pictures, and it's exactly what I was when he posted the pictures of the payphones. It's exactly what I was picturing them like too. I thought that was pretty neat. So that is it. Feedback again, radio@benrev.com. Feedback on anything we've talked about in the show. Again, reminder: submit articles. Benrev 2.2. Articles@benrev.com. We got to start sending articles in very, very soon. Probably through the end of this month is when we want to start cutting it off. So if you got something to send, go ahead and send it in now. And our closing music this week, I'm going to go with Brad Sucks again. I really like this guy a lot, and he gave me permission. It was very cool talking with him on email to use his music, and he actually gave us a link over on his site. So go check him out. Of course, we put links to all our music in the show notes on the radio page, so you can always go check out the music we're playing. Not only Brad Sucks, but a lot of independent music, a lot of nerdcore, a lot of everything we use, we get permission, and these people, I really want to support them. So go check any and all of them out. This particular track, again, Brad Sucks, is called Fixing My Brain. So we're going to close out with that. And Hack and Slash, again, thank you for doing the show. Thank you for that review. I appreciate it. And welcome to DDP. Good to have you aboard.
Thanks, man.
So let's close out the show the same way we always do about this time. We'll see everybody next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
Fixing